This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
For all things Star Wars and geek culture. I am your temporary host, Bria, and with me is my fellow temporary host, Emily.
Hello.
On today's episode, we are executing episode 66 and talking about the possibility of a live-action Star Wars show while really hoping we don't mess this podcasting thing up. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. And off the top, you might have noticed, we're not Brian and Nancy.
And we're already messing this podcasting thing up.
It's been good, though. We're trying. We're trying really hard. We don't know why they thought letting us guest host was a good idea, but they did anyways.
Yes. And, of course, we've already been at this 40 minutes in the pre-show trying to make everything work. So, let's just go ahead and warn you. This podcast is a little bit different because this podcast has an adult warning attached. This podcast is rated R.
Warning, warning. Please turn back now. Good?
If the word fuck offends you, turn around. Go away.
Okay, we're good now.
Yes, we're good now.
Yes.
By the way, Nancy and Brian are not allowed to go anywhere ever again.
Nope. We're forbidding it. They get on a boat again? Nope.
Which no they're boat. Doing, despite the fact that we have forbidden it.
So expect to have some really big Star Wars news drop around next week. Like clockwork.
Because but anyway.
Yep. But I guess we should do our word from our sponsors.
We should.
So Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on ToshiStation.net for more details.
And Toshi Station Radio is also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
And with that, we would cover what's new on the blog, but it's been a slow week, and there's not really much because we've all been busy. So, I guess that means we slide right into Fixer's Flash, so you guys can find out what geeky things we have been up to, and as now is tradition, we're going to start with Emily.
Well, I have been dissertating and dissertating and dissertating, and I really, really hate Tennyson. Really hate Tennyson. Other than that, I've been playing Minecraft a lot and playing around with different mod packs. I have a friend who's running a Vault server, and I've been playing around with the Yogscraft mod pack, which has been really fun. And I just finished reading Chris Cluey's Beautifully Unique Sparkle Ponies. So if you don't know who Chris Cluey is, he used to be the punter for the Minnesota Vikings. Now he is the punter for the Oakland Raiders. And I started following him on Twitter because he was a nerd, not because he was a football player. And he's just put out this book, Beautifully Unique Sparkle Ponies, which is, let's put it this way, Beautifully Unique Sparkle Ponies was the cleaned up version of something he called a state senator who came out against gay marriage in a Deadspin article. Anyway, the book's great. He's got some really unique points of view about writing, some really interesting geek moments. When you're thinking about a book written by a football player, this is most definitely not what you would expect. Thinking about a book written by a nerd, very much more what you'd be interested in. And you can follow Chris on Twitter at the handle at Chris Warcraft, like World of. So. What have you been up to, Bria?
Well, I took part in JaegerCon, which was an online convention for Pacific Rim, which is the best movie ever, and if you haven't all seen it, you're wrong. It was pretty cool, though, because I think we'll talk a little more about it later, but there's a lot of the cast and crew who were sort of, who took part in it. Everyone did costumes. I did a gender swap Tendo Choi one just because I could.
And it was adorable.
Thank you. Thank you. Actually, I took another picture for it today, so I have my hair in this ridiculous poof right now, and I don't know how to handle it, because I feel like if I touch it, it's going to go away. But anyways, it was really fun, and if there's another one next year, which I think there might be, you guys should all consider taking part. And then, speaking of costumes, I decided to make a Leia costume last week, because why not? I had extra fabric, and I had a pattern, and I said, I'm going to make this jacket in 12 hours. I somehow managed to succeed. It's the Razor's Edge cover for Leia, so. And then, aside from that, I just finished reading a book called The Killing Moon, which is pretty good. And I'm about to finally start Razor's Edge, because I figured I've finally given Brian and Nancy enough of a head start on the book that maybe, just maybe, we might finish it around the same time. Not likely.
Yeah. I haven't started it either. So.
You guys, you're killing me here. Killing me.
I'll start it when you start it.
Tomorrow?
Okay, I'll start it this weekend.
Okay, that works.
Fair enough?
Fair enough. All right. At least someone else on Tashi Station reads fast. Works well.
Yes.
And with that, I guess we move right into Deekstert, so all your news from around fandom. First up, Dark Horse released a trailer for the new comic book series, The Star Wars. The art actually looks kind of neat.
Yeah, you know, the original concept, I think that's going to be interesting. I was a little kind of going, huh, there's a trailer for it. But will I buy it? Probably not. Certainly, at least, I won't buy it unless it comes out in trade paperback, probably.
I'm sure it'll be out in trade.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think I'm mostly feeling the same way. I'm going to wait and see how it goes, because I don't really feel like buying another comic right now. I already have 3,000 Marvel ones. But, do you want to get the next one?
Well, I don't know a whole lot about it, but there really wasn't any Episode 7 news out of D23, which was what we expected. But we'll be getting the new film in summer of 2015, which was what we expected, so no news there?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But to everyone just complaining about no news from most of these conventions, stop, don't complain. Really.
No, it's just good news.
I mean, yeah, it would be nice to know for sure if the big three were coming back, but you have to realize we are a year and a half out from when, if we're saying a May 2015 release date. I mean, I don't even think we knew the titles until less than a year out. And, you know, we don't get trailers or anything. So it wasn't like we should have been expecting. And don't act entitled about it is my point.
The only thing that has me pausing, I don't want to even say concerned, is just that they're hardly going to get all the special effects done that quickly. But they've gotten a lot faster at it. So.
Which is good. And then the next thing we have, there's rumors now that Ian McDiarmid could be in Episode 7. So, aka, the Emperor could be back. This isn't a confirmed thing. Again, we could have a big rumor sign going on if we were at all technically savvy. But we don't. So, supposedly, the Latino Review says that he might be making an appearance as a Force ghost who was training an apprentice before he died. Take that with a giant grain of salt, as you should take basically every other rumor from Episode 7.
And I remember seeing somewhere, I don't know where exactly, but I remember seeing somewhere this rumor being addressed, and it being said, you all got to be kidding. So, of course, I cannot provide source for that or anything like that, but I have seen that being addressed. Y'all got to be joking.
Okay. Sorry, we had a little technical difficulty going on there. No need to panic, though. We've got it. We're all fine here now. How are you?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it for the Emperor making his appearance. It's a rumor. Giant grain of salt, et cetera, et cetera. Do you want to take the next one, Em?
Yes, and if you're interested in this, apparently at Comic-Con, Adam Savage from Mythbusters went incognito on the floor as Admiral Ackbar. So if you go to tested.com, you can see one of the making of videos of the Admiral Ackbar costume, which is really neat. He took one of the actual molds from the actual Admiral Ackbar costume and used that to make his costume. So that was part of YouTube's Geek Week last week. And there's also a really neat video on tested.com featuring the special effects of Wired's giant robot mecha, which if you've seen Pacific Rim, I think you're going to think it's pretty cool. There is actually a dude in it.
Huh.
So that was pretty neat. And speaking of Pacific Rim, do you want to talk about...
I will, yes, because Guillermo del Toro is really awesome, and he actually sent a nice little thank you note to the people who are running JaegerCon, and he also did an interview for JaegerCon on Sunday afternoon and basically said thank you to everyone for being awesome fans. So that was pretty cool. Basically, Pacific Rim is awesome. You should all see it because of reasons.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but Tumblr is making me excited about it. So I think we're going to go see it.
It's giant robot mechas.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Let me tell you, it has the best soundtrack of all time.
And Idris Elba being awesome every day.
He is canceling the apocalypse. That's my attempt at an Idris Elba voice.
Well, and I think our last bit of news is that if any of you have been fans of the Lizzie Bennet Diaries or Welcome to Sanditon, Pemberley Digital is getting ready to start Emma Approves, Pemberley Digital being an offshoot of Hank and John Greed's Nerd Fighters. It's going into adapting books, specifically Jane Austen novels, for a new audience. There was great rejoicing in fandom for this, so that should start before too much longer. It should be really interesting.
And I think that about wraps it up for Geekstert, so we're going to move into Cammie's concerns, and we really had no idea what to talk about, so we sort of polled the audience, and because that's what we do. And so we're going to actually, it was mentioned last week on the podcast, but Paul Lee, who is the ABC president, said that basically they're having conversations about a live-action Star Wars series. It's a conversation, which means doesn't necessarily mean it's happening anytime, like, in the next year or so, but let's see, where's the quote? I certainly have a glint in my eye. They have a lot on their plate when you look at the features that they're planning on rolling out for the next few years, but we've started conversations with them. So we just wanted to talk about whether or not we think it could work, and then what we think it might potentially be. So, Emily, do you think it could work?
No. No, I don't. I think that this is a disaster waiting to happen. I want it to work. I want it to work and succeed beyond my wildest dreams. I think that there is absolutely no possible way.
See, I'm on the opposite side of the fence, though, because I think especially if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. works out well, I think that is the best. They could use that as an example of how to sort of use a television show to touch on the larger film universe, mm-hmm. but not necessarily delve into them completely. Plus, I think that it depends entirely on what sort of time period they use and where, I guess, the material. Because if you're doing episode 7 about, well, I'm assuming you're going to have it about the Skywalkers and the Jedi, you don't necessarily have to have a television show take place 30 or 40 years after Return of the Jedi and deal with the Jedi Academy still.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about what this could potentially be then. Because, I mean, what do we want it to be? A Star Wars television show.
I think everyone probably knows what we're going to say here, though. Our first choice.
X-Wing! Duh.
Please! Rogue Squadron! Rey Squadron!
Something like that would be fantastic. I'm wearing my Rogue Squadron dress right now.
Excellent. You got the new one in?
It did. It came this morning.
Yay!
So, you know, it... Rogue Squadron, I think... And I want to use Star Trek as an example here, and I know that's an anathema to some people, but, you know, a small group of people who are a cohesive group, you know, who do make up a type of family, I think those are the people you tell the best stories about. I think Star Trek does that really well. I think, you know, Firefly did that really well. I think Stargate did that really well. I'm sorry, there's a cat behind me. Get down. You know, so I think, you know, if you have a group of people, an ensemble cast, it's a bunch of people that you really care about. You know, again, The West Wing, I think, did it really well. Get down!
Having issues with cats now. Forget technology. Yes. Cats.
Yeah. I think you could really tell some interesting stories about an X-Wing squadron. Much like you do in the books.
Yeah, I agree with all that, and I think I hate continuously tying things back to S.H.I.E.L.D., but I sort of feel like you can draw that parallel fairly well, because the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, they're a group of people, they're a team that are going to work together, and they're part of the military, the overarching group that are, not that S.H.I.E.L.D. is military, but they're part of the group that's, you know, fighting for the good guys. Much how you have the X-Wing squadrons, who are also fighting for the good guys. And I think even if you don't necessarily set it immediately after Return of the Jedi, or, you know, within 5 or 10 years after Return of the Jedi, I think you still have a lot of freedom to be able to do a pilot show without it really interfering with the main film verse.
Agreed. Especially if you set it during the Rebellion.
Yeah.
I do think, though, that you would have to, at some point... you would have to have somebody who was willing to kill characters off.
True.
Because that is part of, you know, Rogue Squadron. People die. As much as we all hate it, you know, that attrition is part of that. So.
I think that more directors are being more willing to, or producers, I guess, if we're talking about television, they're getting more willing to kill off characters because they've seen it work now, and they're sort of more comfortable with it. I'm going to use Fringe as an example, which it killed off a decent number of its main cast, or at least sent them elsewhere, or maybe they came back in a mirror universe at some point, but it was, you know, it's possible to do it, but I agree with you that you need to have someone who's willing to kill off characters.
I think Walking Dead does that, don't they? Killing off.
Yes, they do a fairly good job with that.
And I know the comic does that too, but...
Yeah.
So X-Wing, that's what we would like to see, but... There are supposedly 50 hours of scripts somewhere in the ether set between the prequel trilogy and the... original trilogy during the dark times, but we have no idea what about.
Yeah, I'm almost wondering, though, if a lot of that is going to end up being used as material or at least ideas for Rebels.
I hadn't thought about that, but that's a good question.
Because, I mean, yeah, they haven't given us an exact timeline for Rebels yet, but given what Dave Filoni said at Celebration Europe, it sounds like it's within the more towards A New Hope than it is than it is Revenge of the Sith. But then again, I don't know how much conversations there are between the people who have these 50 hours of scripts and the new animated team. But I guess another possibility, well, I guess we'll just wrap these 2 points into one since they're similar. You could focus on smugglers or, you know, the general underworld or bounty hunters. Which, yes, they could do a Boba Fett show. I hope they don't.
No, no Boba Fett show, please.
Unless
it is a song and dance variety show and he's going to tap dance, I do not want to see a Boba Fett show.
Can we just have a variety show where everyone tap dances?
No, wait, because then it's too much like the Star Wars Kinect game.
Yes, that's the point.
No! No, no, no!
Emily, do you hate joy? Is that why you don't want people dancing?
No, it's because my husband goes around singing that stupid Han Solo song from that game.
Hey,
it is annoying me.
It is a catchy song.
It's irritating.
Okay, so a musical show is apparently out for Emily. What about a musical episode?
We might be able to work with that. You know, the musical episode of Buffy was great.
In the chat, we're hearing no musical episode. Okay, maybe no musicals in Star Wars. But I guess getting back to it, even just the smuggler world, I think we would both be pretty happy if we got to see something with, say, Cars Organization, whether it be set.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Cars Organization. I would be all over that.
Wait, hold on. I know this one. Card and Shada running the organization? Yep.
Yes, yes. That would make me so very happy.
But I think the good thing about that idea is that you don't necessarily have to, you don't have to tie yourself to one era, because smugglers are pretty much, universal is not the right word, timeless, there we go.
Yes.
I feel like smugglers are very timeless in the Star Wars universe, so you could just have them be in any time frame. You could set them like 100 years before Phantom Menace even happens, and it wouldn't mess with anything. Which I guess also sort of ties in with the, you have thousands of years of timeline to play with. And we've already seen that technology does not exactly advance at a rapid rate, or really advance at all, apparently, in Star Wars.
Which has always bothered me, but okay.
Yeah. So, which, I'm going to slide into my next point, and someone in the chat is reading my mind with this, because that was actually literally my next point, is I just want to see a Knights of the Old Republic show. I think it would be really good. You could just have it, especially if you commit to doing just like, be like, all right, we're going to lay this out, we're going to do a one-season show or a two-season show, work your way through things, fill out people's backstories a little more, give people more screen time. It'd be good. And you don't have to worry about, like, having actors who aren't the right age or who don't necessarily look like the main, you know, look like the characters that are, you know, who don't look any younger, Luke Skywalker or whatever. Ooh,
yeah.
That's a good point. Nut in the chat says, can John Jackson Miller write it? Yes, please.
Ooh, yes.
That would be amazing. Amazing if it's a female Revan. But...
Well, you don't even have to do the storyline from Knights of the Old Republic. You can just do stories in that setting that don't have anything to do with Revan. I mean, and just follow a couple of Jedi and smugglers about. And
which is basically what John Jackson Miller, what John Jackson Miller did with the KOTOR comics.
Which I think, you know, there you go. Yeah, let's just turn his comic series into a... Yeah.
Apparently,
yeah,
it has apparently we're now both really on board with having a KOTOR show. Or that era. But I guess also if you even want to go further back, which I don't know how... You didn't read Dawn of the Jedi, right? Or Into the Void?
No, I did not.
Well, I think that's another, it is another one that could work, though, and that's actually something where you see how technology, well, I guess when you're like, I think it's like 20,000 years in the past or something like that, but it's actually something where you see how technology has evolved. So, you know, the Jedi don't have swords, the Jedi don't have light, you know, or sorry, they have swords, they don't have lightsabers. Hyperspace travel isn't really there yet, but it could be, that's another thing that could be interesting, because you could really play with different aliens and technology and all. So
the Jedi first going, I guess it's Elgos Athla who says that when the Jedi first found their power, they went to Kamas to learn the morality of it.
Oh, right.
Is that what it says?
Maybe.
It's either in a Stackpole or a Zahn book, I think that said.
It might be, I don't know. Actually, my first guess was that it might have been Stover. That sounds like something Stover, right?
I don't think so. I think it was Stackpole or Zahn, because I haven't read a whole lot of Stover.
Huh. I mean, either way, it could be neat to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess you could look at the other end of the spectrum, which is to set it further into the future, where you have, I mean, that could be a little bit trickier to do, potentially, because we're already seeing how the Legacy comic, how writers have tried to catch themselves up to the Legacy comic, and it's always getting people going, well, you know, obviously this has to happen, and then that has to happen, so they can make these babies. But it's another possibility.
Yeah. Well, and of course, you have the thing about that is, you know, you're going to have two different continuities going on, so that's going to be, I don't necessarily...
Complicated?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for reading my mind and just filling in what needs to be coming out of my mouth and doesn't.
I am a telepath. Yeah, it's my part-time job when my superhero power is in speed reading. But can you think of any other ideas that could be neat?
Not terrifying. I mean, I think there's a, you know, there are an infinite number of stories that can be told in the universe. It's just, I don't know that there's, the question is, are there stories that you can put into a serialized television show? You know, I don't think you can put a television show and make it Star Wars Tales.
But see, I feel like, you know, everything we've been talking about, we've come up with a couple of ideas that we think we could definitely, you know, could definitely fly. I think the biggest barrier to having the show is the budget. Is how much money ABC and Disney are willing to put into a show that, which I have to say, I do trust them at this point to put together a solid TV show. I haven't seen The Clone Wars, but apparently it was very solidly good. So you have a good creative team who know how to make shows, and ABC's done fairly well with some of their shows when they really put their mind behind it. Like, but I mean, it's going to be the budget, because where you could have a Jedi show set maybe 100 years before Phantom Menace, so you can still have characters like Yoda. You know, Yoda could be a good touchstone, but it's the Jedi. But it's how much money you're willing to spend on the alien prosthetics, how much money you're willing to spend on having lightsaber effects every week. But again, I think we have to wait and see what they do with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because that could be a good indicator of how things might work.
Well, the budget concern was part of the reason I thought that this probably wouldn't work. And again, I'm coming at this from a Star Trek point of view. Even in Star Trek, when you had a lot of battles, you had them reusing a lot of the same shots. You had only a couple of different types of ships. There wasn't a whole lot to differentiate. And a lot of times the majority of a space shot was just a beauty shot of the ship gliding through space, you know, whatever. And the majority of the action took place, you know, around the characters, around the people. And when it did take place around the people, you didn't have a whole lot of aliens. And I know that sounds weird to say about Star Trek, but if you did have aliens, you had quite a few of just one kind. So you either had, you know, you had a lot of Klingons, or you had a lot of Romulans. And Star Wars always has, you know, the cantina scene that has lots of different aliens, and that's something I think the prequels did really well, was to outfit the universe much more diversely with lots of different aliens.
That actually makes me wonder whether or not they have where all those costumes are. Hopefully they're in, I mean, if they're in storage somewhere and they're still in pretty good condition, they could be brought out for a potential television show, and then you can populate it. So that might be able to... Or, heck, even with the upcoming films, I assume that they're going to continue to have the tradition of having lots of aliens, just at least in the background.
I hope so.
So even then, you know, sharing wardrobes, that's a way it could potentially bring the budget down a bit.
Yes.
Okay. So... go ahead, sorry.
No, I think it's going to have to, if they do a live-action Star Wars show, it's going to have to be approached very carefully, and I don't know who you'd get to run it, because, I mean, there are a couple of people who I think could do it and do it well. Joss Whedon's probably one. Ron Moore's another one.
Yeah.
But, again, you know, then there's also that turn that Star Wars has taken for the dark and gritty. And I don't, you know, and I don't want a live-action Star Wars show to end up being Battlestar Galactica.
I would have a hard time seeing Disney and ABC allowing, which actually I think Ron Moore would be a pretty good choice, because he does have a lot of experience. With the, you know, the starfighter battles, he does know how to shoot shows in space. But
he's
I just
DS9 too. So.
Oh right. But I just have a hard time seeing Disney and ABC letting him do a super dark show, or letting any director do an incredibly dark show. I think they know. I think they're smart enough to know that Star Wars is an all age property. I mean, you have fans from 2 to 80 probably. So this could be a really good ratings cow for them, and they don't want to, you know, they don't want to make it so that you gotta send the kids to bed when they show it at 8 o'clock on Sunday night. So I mean, I think they're going to be smart about it. I do like the idea you said of Ron Moore, and I do the other names I would throw in the hat, which aren't actually names because they're escaping me at the moment, but the people who were running. The show Fringe in its last couple seasons after J.J. Mm-hmm. Abrams sort of stepped back. I thought they were pretty good at knowing how to good caliber actors in there and how to tell a good story.
So. Yeah. And this may be an unpopular opinion. I think J. Michael Straczynski of Babylon 5 fame,
mm-hmm.
if you gave him enough money to have some decent effects. And of course, you know, he's written X-Men and things like that as well.
Yeah. But he could be good.
Yeah.
But, so I guess the point is that we would need, you need to have a good spot in the timeline where it's not interfering with the sequel trilogy, or I guess depending on when they end up having, you know, potentially having the show take place, because Like the quote said, they're just starting to have conversations, and honestly, there's no harm in a conversation. But you know, it would depend on when they start producing it, where they might put it in the timeline. But clearly, they have plenty of options for what to do. Just a matter of the budget and getting the right team on there. But any last thoughts from you on this?
I was going to say, do you want to take bets on whether it happens or not?
We bet Monopoly money.
I was gonna say, do you wanna set odds for our listeners for it happening in the next 5 years?
I don't think it'll be next 5 years. 10 years, I think it could happen. I think you have I'm gonna pull a number out of my butt here. An 8-to-1 chance of it happening in the next 10 years. Or at least production starting.
Okay.
sure about you.
Fair enough. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Yeah, that's fair.
I don't know where I got 8-1 from, but because math is hard.
I think that's fair.
Okay. And I guess that's Cammy's concerns for the week, then. Clearly,
we've never done this before.
Yeah, sorry. We're trying, guys. We're trying real hard. But I guess it means we're allowed to move into our Ask Us Anything portion of the podcast. And unfortunately, the live stream cut out partway through this recording, which I'm going to blame Brian for because it's Brian's fault.
Like everything.
Yes, sweet. We hate him right now. It's okay, though. He'll just laugh and forgive us and then make us do it this again, which, no, that's not saying we will do it again, Brian. So when you listen to this, no, one time only. But let's see. Nancy asked us, seriously, though, say you can commission any EU author to write one book. Who would it be and what would the book be about? And I'm going to make an executive judgment that we can say more than one if we want to. Go for it, Em.
I want Timothy Zahn to write and tell us what Mara and Marex were doing those years that Luke was at the academy and Mara wasn't there.
When they got arrested?
When they got arrested, when they were up to no good. I want a Solo's Eleven story about Mara and Marex.
Yes.
I want to know that, and I want some rip-roaring Card and Shada adventure.
Yes.
After Mara has left the organization. Those are what I would really, really like.
Would you want Zahn to write the Card and Shada one, I guess?
Yes.
Just checking.
Let's put it this way. I want Zahn to write whatever Zahn wants to write about, and I will read it.
Nice. Ooh. I think I have three.
Okay.
Okay. Top choice would probably be James Luceno writing a political novel with either Padme or, because there's not really, I don't know how much room there is to write about her being a senator in the timeline. Or I will happily take a political novel about Leia, co-starring both Bail Organa and Winter. I think he's definitely, one of his strong points is definitely writing the political stuff. If you read Darth Plagueis, he did really good with that.
You know what would be interesting to see him write a political novel about Leia while the twins are young?
Ooh.
As she is juggling her politics, you know, and being the chief of state and motherhood. Because, you know, there's all the stuff in the New Jedi Order, Jane is so resentful.
Yeah.
During the early part of it. And I think it would be neat to see Leia's point of view of that, how difficult it was for her to be doing both things.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I guess it would have to be after the Jedi Academy trilogy, though, because I think they're sent off pretty early on.
Yeah. I think it would. But
that could be interesting. Although my second choice is, I want Stover to go write a book about Mace Windu and Depa Bilba back when, either when she was his Padawan or when she first got knighted, them going off on a mission and kicking lots of ass and being awesome. Because Shatterpoint is beautiful, and I want him to get more of Mace Windu. That would be ideal.
Yeah.
I think I had a third one. I don't remember what it was now. Except, you know, Alston, write us more Wraith books. Please.
More
Gaff. Please. Del
Rey. More Wraith books.
Next question. Nut asks, did Bria grab Star Wars 8 this week to whimper rage over Leia's return? Short answer is no, because Bria did not feel like spending the $2.99 to read a book that she wasn't enjoying, especially when Infinity cost $4.99 this week. So, no.
Reminds me, I gotta go pick up Batgirl.
Oh, is that out this week?
I think so.
Oh, okay. And then everyone asked us, how are we getting revenge on Nancy and Brian, and what will it be? Or if we're getting revenge, and what we're gonna do.
We will be getting revenge, and no, we're not going to tell you.
It'll be secret. It'll be, like, really stealthy. They'll never see it coming.
That's right.
The secret.
The dish best served cold.
Or like a wraith. That's what we should do. Emily, let's pull a pirate operation. They'll never see it coming. We can be the hawk bats.
You know, I am supposed to officiate their wedding. I'm just saying.
Probably not the best time to get revenge.
No, but my husband's supposed to be the DJ.
That's an excellent time to get revenge.
Yeah, isn't it?
Ooh. This is interesting.
I'm thinking that maybe his idea of having the Mecco Disco Star Wars theme might just be the best idea I've ever heard.
I'm really inclined to agree at this point. Really inclined.
We will have to continue plotting after this podcast.
We shall. To be continued, .. But not where Brian and Nancy can listen to us later.
Exactly.
But I think that's it, unless... Did you see any more questions people had, Em?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, then, this episode of Tasha Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. You can find us on Twitter at @Tashi_Station, at Chaos Bria, and at Card Kick Store.
Two R's.
Yes, two R's. On Facebook, we are the Tashi Station Network, and we are also in the iTunes Store under something that I actually don't know what it is, but it's probably Tashi Station Radio. And as always, you can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. And I would tell you, until next time, but we may never host.
With any luck, there won't be a next time.
But we tried. Anyways, bye everyone.
Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.